but a mere servant of Ged's destiny. Under his feet he felt the hill roots going down and down into the dark, and over his head he saw the dry, far fires of the stars. Between, all things were his to order, to command. He stood at the center of the world. "Don't be afraid," he said, smiling. "I'll call a woman spirit. You need not fear a woman. Elfarin I will call, the fair lady of the deed of Enlad." "She died 1,000 years ago. Her bones lie afar under the Sea of Ea, and maybe there never was such a woman." "Well, do years and distances matter to the dead? Do the songs lie?" Ged said this with the same gentle mockery, and then, saying, "Watch the air between my hands," he turned away from the others and stood still. In a great, slow gesture, he stretched out his arms, the gesture of welcome that opens an invocation. He began to speak. He had read the runes of this spell of summoning in Ogion's book 2 years and more ago, and never since had seen them. In darkness he had read them then, and now in this darkness it was as if he read them again on the page open before him in the night. But now he understood what he read, speaking it aloud word after word, and he saw the markings of how the spell must be woven, with the sound of the voice and the motion of body and hand. And the other boys stood watching, not speaking, not moving, unless they shivered a little, for the great spell was beginning to work. Ged's voice was soft, still, but changed with a deep singing in it, and the words he spoke were not known to them. He fell silent. Suddenly the wind rose, roaring in the grass. Ged dropped to his knees and called out aloud, and then he fell forward, as if to embrace earth with his outstretched arms, and when he rose he held something dark in his straining hands and arms, something so heavy that he shook with effort getting to his feet. And the hot wind whined in the black tossing grasses on the hill, and if the stars shone now, none saw them. The words of the enchantment hissed and mumbled on Ged's lips, and then he cried out aloud and clearly, "Elfarin!" Again he cried the name, "Elfarin!" The shapeless mass of darkness he had lifted split apart. It sundered, and a pale spindle of light gleamed between his opened arms, a faint oval reaching from the ground up to the height of his raised hands. In the oval of light for a moment there moved a form, a human shape, a tall woman looking back over her shoulder. Ah, her face was beautiful and sorrowful and full of fear. Only for a moment did the spirit glimmer there, and then the sallow oval between Ged's arms grew bright. It widened and spread, a rent in the darkness of the earth and night, a ripping open of the fabric of the world. Through it blazed a terrible brightness, and through that bright, misshapen breach clambered something like a clot of black shadow, quick and hideous, and it leaped straight out at Ged's face. Staggering back under the weight of the thing, Ged gave a short, hoarse scream. The little Otak, watching from Vetch's shoulder, the animal that had no voice, screamed aloud also, and leaped as if to attack. Ged fell, struggling and writhing, while the bright rip in the world's darkness above him widened and stretched. The boys that watched fled, and Jasper bent down to the ground, hiding his eyes from the terrible light. Vetch alone ran forward to his friend, so only he saw the lump of shadow that clung to Ged, tearing at his flesh. It was like a black beast the size of a young child, though it seemed to swell and shrink, and it had no head or face, only the four taloned paws with which it gripped and tore. Vetch sobbed with horror, yet he put out his hands to try to pull the thing away from Ged. Before he touched it, he was bound still, unable to move. The intolerable brightness faded, and slowly the torn edges of the world closed together. Nearby a voice was speaking as softly as a tree whispers or a fountain plays. Starlight began to shine again, and the grasses of the hillside were whitened with the light of the moon just rising. The night was healed. Restored and steady lay the balance of light and dark. The shadow beast was gone. Ged lay sprawled on his back, his arms flung out as if they yet kept the wide gesture of welcome and invocation. His face was blackened with blood, and there were great black stains on his shirt. The little Otak cowered by his shoulder, quivering, and above him stood an old man whose cloak glimmered pale in the moonrise, the Archmage Nimerlane. The end of Nemerly's staff hovered, silvery, above Ged's breast. Once, gently, it touched him over the heart, and once on the lips, while Nemerly whispered. Ged stirred, and his lips parted, gasping for breath. Then the old archmage lifted the staff and set it to earth and leaned heavily on it with bowed head, as if he had scarcely strength to stand. Vetch found himself free to move. Looking around, he saw that already others were there, the masters, summoner, and changer. An act of great wizardry is not worked without arousing such men, and they had ways of coming very swiftly when need called, though none had been so swift as the archmage. They now sent for help, and some who came went with the archmage, while others, Vetch among them, carried Ged to the chambers of the Master Herbal. All night long the summoner stayed on Roke Knoll, keeping watch. Nothing stirred there on the hillside where the stuff of the world had been torn open. No shadow came crawling through moonlight, seeking the rent through which it might clamber back into its own domain. It had fled from Nemerly, and from the mighty spell walls that surround and protect Roke Island. But it was in the world now, in the world somewhere it hid. If Ged had died that night, it might have tried to find the doorway he had opened and follow him into Death's realm, or slip back into whatever place it had come from. For this, the summoner waited on Roke Knoll. But Ged lived. They had laid him a bed in the healing chamber, and the Master Herbal tended the wounds he had on his face and throat and shoulder. They were deep, ragged, and evil wounds. The black blood in them would not stanch, welling out even under the charms and the cobweb-wrapped periot leaves laid upon them. Ged lay blind and dumb in fever, like a stick in a slow fire, and there was no spell to cool what burned him. And not far away, in the unroofed court where the fountain played, the archmage lay also unmoving, but cold, very, very cold. Only his eyes lived, watching the fall of moonlit water and the stir of moonlit leaves. And those with him said no spells and worked no healing. Quietly they spoke among themselves from time to time, and then turned again to watch their lord. He lay still, hawk nose and high forehead and white hair bleached by moonlight, all to the color of bone. To check the ungoverned spell and drive off the shadow from Ged, Nemerly had spent all his